Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. This is the last Sunday of the church year. It is a day when we look at the end of the church. Indeed, we look at the end of the earth and the universe as we know it. Today's Bible lesson comes from Matthew 25. It is Jesus talking. He is explaining how it all ends. The disciples wanted to know how it all plays out in the end. We ask the same question. What is our outcome when it comes to the last day, the end of the universe, Judgment Day? The answer? The harvest of souls will begin with separation of mankind into two groups, one group which seeks God's direction and one group which does not. This is a long lesson, so let's look at Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46 in smaller bites. The end will come when Jesus Christ himself returns in power. His return will be complicated. Jesus does not talk about the rapture in this section of the Bible. The picture we have is one of Christ in power coming to the earth, and he has all of heaven with him, all the holy angels. Jesus Christ will take the seat of power, the throne of the universe. All of mankind, regardless of nation or ethnicity or language, will be gathered before him by his angels. Jesus Christ himself will group mankind into two large groupings. Here's Jesus talking in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. At this point, King Jesus will recognize the mercy and love of those who have chosen to follow Christ and his example for life. These choices by people occurred in the past, back when they were living on the earth. All rewards to the chosen group will relate to those choices made back when they were living on the earth. Jesus explains in Matthew 25, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" The blessings for these people come directly from God the Father. Those blessings were prepared at the very beginning of the universe. The sense is this: God knew that Adam and Eve would fall into sin before they were even created. God knew that he would have to send the second Adam, Jesus Christ, to redeem a lost and fallen mankind, the children of Adam and Eve. Through the blood of Christ, the blood that covers the sin of all mankind, mankind was redeemed. Free will was still in the universe. Mankind had choice when it came to redemption. Those who chose to follow Christ, those are the ones for whom blessings have been prepared. King Jesus will acknowledge those who have sought to be true to him in their lifestyles. It is interesting, the hearts of the redeemed are unaware of the changes that took place in their lives because of Jesus. Jesus continues his explanation in Matthew 25. "Then the righteous will answer Jesus, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.'" Well, that's the righteous. What about the other group at the end of the age? King Jesus will identify those who rejected him and his leadership. Again, they have been recognized for their actions in their lives, not on their decisions at the time of judgment. Jesus continues his explanation of the end times in Matthew 25. "Then the king will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.'" These people have no understanding of Jesus Christ and his identification of the people of the very earth he came to save. They are condemned, just like Satan and his legions. The coming punishment will be eternal and destructive. That's what fire does. It destroys, and it is uncomfortable. Now things get interesting. Those who lived a different life, not pleasing to King Jesus, will argue with Christ, but their end will be punishment. Sometimes it pays to argue with authority, but if you are in the wrong and you have been hurtful and destructive as your behavior relates to authority, do you think you might get a hearing? Jesus continues the narrative in Matthew 25. "Then the condemned also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then the king will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' Do you get the sense that the condemned just do not get it? So Jesus has laid out Judgment Day for us. All of humanity assembled by the angels. The vision of the assembly based on the exercise of mercy in their lifetimes. No argument by the righteous, some argument by the unrighteous. Now for the results. The outcome of the ages will be reward for the followers of Christ and destruction for all who have rejected King Jesus, Lord of the universe. Jesus explains again in Matthew 25. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. People continue to be fascinated by the resolution of the universe at the end of time. People continue to live in the present, and they continue to make choices concerning life, lifestyles, mercy, and love. Followers of Jesus Christ are called to love one another because Christ loves us. Admittedly, we often fail to be loving people, but our gracious Lord Jesus gives us many opportunities to exercise love and to care for one another and for his world. Did you notice that Jesus in Matthew 25 really talks about life opportunities? The difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is not so great. They all got opportunity to share the love of Christ in their lifetimes. Some of them exercised their options. They blessed people through those opportunities. The others, the unrighteous people, missed opportunities. Perhaps they missed them by choice or because they were unobservant. The sense of the lesson is this. They would have done those things if they had known that Jesus was involved. They didn't. How many opportunities do we miss because we fail to see Jesus? And it is not the end of the age yet. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. We begin the church year with the season of Advent, where we focus on looking ahead to the coming of Jesus. Jesus, of course, comes at Christmas. The first Sunday of Advent is November 30th. This is our Hanging of the Greens service, when we decorate our church in preparation for Christmas. On Wednesday each week before Christmas in December, we gather at 7 p.m. for Advent Vespers. It is a time for remembering God's preparations and bringing our Savior to us. We join together for a soup and sandwich supper at 6 p.m. and then move to the sanctuary for this brief service. Why not consider a sandwich and sermon supper during Advent with us on Wednesdays? These past days and weeks, Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill has been privileged to share God's holy word with you in the morning. As part of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, we support daily Bible reading and prayer. If you do not have a Bible and would like a complimentary paperback copy of the New King James Version Bible, call us at 945-5209 and give us your name and address or phone number.